The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's all. If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. Cause you know it's on. It's on. Cause yeah. You know it's
welcome
on.
To the Cut to It podcast. We got two-time national championship winner from the University of Alabama. Nickname, Smitty / Slim Reaper, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, just a guy that, you know, defined the odds. And welcome to the Cut to It podcast, Devontae Smith.
Welcome, man. Welcome.
Appreciate you having me.
Man, thanks for carving out some time. I know you got a... It's off season, so let me be honest. You ain't got really much going on anyway. You know, we all act like we busy. Y'all boys sitting in the office, can't wait to get out. As soon as you get out, you ain't got nothing to do. Is that not true?
That's true.
Yeah. So I appreciate you carving out some time, obviously. You know, Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn. Then we got our guy backstage, Joe, who's probably been contacting you and communicating with you. We got Bryant Baltashevis. That's our tech, and then Taylor, and then our producer, Meredith Carter, who she likes to be kind of like what we talk about in football, nameless, faceless. She doesn't like to be seen, but her work is heard. So we get in right to it. We got this little icebreaker. It's all about you. They're random. Do they have any rhyme or reason? No. That's the best part about it. So here we go. Who's the last person you had a deep conversation with?
My mentor.
This mentor has a name?
Who's your mentor?
Vincent Sanders.
Okay. From?
From Amy Louisiana.
Okay.
How'd you come across him?
Yeah.
And his impact?
Him and my family go way back. His pops and my grandfather were best friends. He was cutting my hair since I was a little boy, so... Kind of always grew up around them.
Okay,
right. you got that good Louisiana fade right now going. That Boosie.
Yeah. As a fellow older guy, I'm telling you too. That thing.
I already know.
I like. I could tell you where that. I could tell if you got a ceiling fan or not right now. That ain't a can light. That's a ceiling fan.
He said that ain't a can.
That's a ceiling fan with a light kit. Am I lying though?
You right.
Ah! I told you. I know my housing. Hey, all right. I'm just messing with you. Listen, I'm bald, so I don't care. I don't get haircuts. I go in the drawer, and the extent of me is what kind of oil am I using? Lavender, scented, and I'm a Gillette. I go to Costco and get all of the Gillette. $24, give me a 36-pack.
Oh, man, you cutting hair all year.
Yeah. Nah. During television season, it's about twice a week.
Oh, okay.
Off season, I try to see if I can let that thing grow. And
you try to let that top back a little bit, huh?
Top back? Man, I got a landing strip. Oh,
whoa.
Private plane.
Devontae, like, let's move on.
Now, listen, if you can't laugh at yourself, you sure the hell can't laugh at other people, right? Look at him. He going to be thinking about this tonight. He going to be like, dog, did Steve really?
I know exactly what I said.
Look. Hey, all right. Who's your favorite sports team growing up?
The Saints and the Celtics.
Okay, Saints I get. Celtics, what's up with Celtics?
Yeah, how do you get that one?
I'm a big Rondo fan.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I mean, Rondo was legit. Like, he does not get
his. He give you a whole bunch of assists. That's all you get.
Hey, man, you drop 20 assists. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's because you got 2 points. That tells me something.
20 games? Like, hey, man, Rondo could hoop.
So what are some bad habits that you have?
Bad habits? I'll probably say me just being nonchalant.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm an overthinker, man. I overthink everything. I overthink driving to the store. You just go to the store. So, all right. How you doing today? How's life?
Good.
Yeah. All right. I've always wanted to ask, you know, some of the young guys. We usually have some old heads on here, but you went to University of Alabama. How was going to college in the middle of a pandemic? Because you had what, 2 years or a year? 2 years or a year in the pandemic of going to school?
A year.
A year of going to school in the pandemic. And then a year, obviously 2 years, of not going. I mean, of not having a pandemic. How was it for you personally to go to school in the middle of a pandemic based off what you're used to things being?
Oh, man, it was tough just because of the simple fact that if you caught COVID, you wasn't going to be able to play. So it was like, I wanted to go to school, but then again, man, I'm not trying to be around everybody. I'm not trying to do all that. So it was kind of tough. And then it was like, I came back from my senior year. And, you know, during the spring, they was like, okay, we're not having no spring. So it was like, man, I done came back. We might not even have a season at this time. So it's like, did I make the right decision? So, I mean, it was tough just kind of just staying focused, like still going out, working out every day and stuff like that, not knowing if you even going to have a season.
What about just going to class or just the normal things that you were used to doing as a college student? You 19, 20, 21 years old. Let's be honest, you've waited all that time to be able to do the legal things that you are wanting to do, to go to college, drink at the bars, and just be a young man.
Being honest, I don't go out a lot. I don't drink. So it was like, that part of it was easy for me. It was like, I sit in the house all day anyway. If I'm not working out, 9 times out of 10, I'm just in the crib playing the game.
Oh, okay.
So that wasn't really the hard part for me.
All right, thanks. All right, you just poo-pooed all on that, all right? We shall move on. So where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
Amy, Louisiana, small town right outside of Baton Rouge.
Okay. How far is that from New Orleans?
About an hour.
Okay. Do you know where Zachariah, Louisiana is?
Zachary. Yeah.
Yeah? Where is that? How far is that from you?
That's like right outside Baton Rouge, too. So probably about the same distance to get to Baton Rouge, just a little different way.
Okay.
About 30 minutes.
All right. There's a guy from there named Doug Williams. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
What'd he play?
Play quarterback.
All right. That was a great guess, because you guessed, too.
Nah, man, I know who Doug Williams is.
All right. I'll just check it. You looked away like, I think a quarterback. What college did he go to?
Yeah, I don't remember. I want to say it was was it in Louisiana?
Yeah.
I'm not helping you.
Grambling.
There you go.
Good job. Touche. I like that. See, he is smarter than he looks. What was life for you before you became the guy catching all those touchdown passes, before you became the Slim Reaper, the guy that everybody talked about that he lacked muscle mass, right? Because you, to some degree, busted on the scene. However, you didn't, because you were in college. You went back for your senior year. You were there for a number of months, days, seconds, hours, that it wasn't just you busting on the scene and you came out of nowhere.
I mean, it was smooth. I stayed in neighborhoods where, like, everybody knew everybody. So, like, you can go from house to house and you be cool. It's like you go to the next house and it's just like it's your house, because the people across the street went to school with your people, with your mom, your pops and stuff like this. So, like, you was always, like, had somebody that was looking after you no matter what. So, like, it was always, like, you were never really doing nothing you weren't supposed to do, because somebody was always there to see what you're doing. And if you're not doing what's right, they're going to let you know.
So you got a lot of butt whoopings?
Yeah, for sure.
And you getting community butt whoopings, too.
You know about the community butt whooping, though? Here's the only thing about community butt whooping. It didn't save you from the butt whooping once you got home, either.
That's the main one.
You're going to get one at home, too.
Yeah. The other ones were the appetizers. The main course is waiting on you when you get home.
I'm talking about straight steak.
Yeah. You about to get seared, all right. You definitely about to get flambéed. that's the bad part about it. But I love how you described it, too, to where, like, every hood isn't the ghetto, or every hood is not bang, bang, shoot 'em up. Like, everything isn't one-sided or one course. Like, there is, every place is different. So I'm glad you explained that, to where it's not the same trivial thing or the same story that everything is the same just because you say it's the hood.
And I also dislike, because there's a narrative that every black athlete is a thug, or they experience harsh times. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some squares that have played in the league, and then there's some dudes that's worse than me. I'm like, grilled cheese sandwich, or they could have,
but harsh still has range, right? Yeah. So just one person's harsh isn't the other person's harsh, but it was harsh to them,
correct?
Right? So it's just everybody's story isn't.
And some people's perspective of poor varies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you be like, poor.
Right.
Like, no, you just don't. Your family didn't manage money right. You ain't poor.
Yeah.
Right? I can show you some poor. So so maybe I can get a better answer. I say better just because I want to give the perspective. How did COVID impact your community when it was going on?
I wouldn't say it really impacted bad, because, like, It's so small that where you gotta make it happen. Like, it's not much around them. So, like, the stuff that it had, like, it was still going. Cause, like, if we shut down, then it's nothing here. So, like, everything was still going and things like that. It was just, everybody just had to be smarter with the stuff that they were doing.
Where'd your love for sports grow?
I grew up right next to a park.
Okay.
So anytime I heard that basketball on that concrete, I was there. It was the old heads of people my age. I was always there. My pops, he hooped in high school, so I used to go out there and hoop against him. Just that toughness in me and stuff came from that. Just no matter who it was, old heads out there, I'm going to get out there. And then I always had a good basketball, so nobody else played unless I got at least one game in.
Oh, you was like that, huh?
It was running the court.
So when you run the court, you could shoot?
Yeah, I can do a little something.
No, that ain't what I asked. I said, kids, you shoot.
Can do a little something.
That's that nonchalant. He telling you he can hoop.
I know. I was just messing with him. what position?
We were small. I played the 1-4.
No, okay.
I don't think a lot of kids hang out with OGs. Like, I don't think that they get. Would you agree or disagree, Devontae? Like, how many people now are hanging out with, like, really being able to bring down that game, really being able to soak up, you know, the knowledge from them?
You can't talk to them.
I got a younger brother. I tell him all the time, man. Like, when I was younger, man, you wouldn't be able to be out there with us, man. We was real there at the park, 1:00, sun beaming. Like, your grandma telling you, don't go out to that sun out there. They not outside no more, man. They're not doing all that.
Over there sharing water. Don't put your lips on it.
And you better be back by when. What is the street light? Street light.
Before the street light come on.
Street light. Don't let me come
that
out.
That is the proverbial curfew for black
Do not
folks.
Let me come out yelling, Stevon, because it is going
to
be trouble.
You knew when it was about to come because you heard that like a
zzzz. Yeah.
It's about to come on. Oh. Yeah. You better wrap up that last game.
Why do you believe, well, you're a young buck. What is one of the toughest things to hang out with OGs as a young boy?
I mean, you got to kind of like know your place. Mm. Like, yeah, you want to go out there and be all tough and stuff, but you got to know when you got to tone it down. Cause like my OGs, it was like, they knew me, they knew my people and all that. So they had the right way to like, if stuff was wrong, like I'm doing wrong, like they're going to let me know. So I had to kind of know my place and things like that.
So do you think that helped you?
Yeah, for sure. It taught me respect. It taught me respect. Just to respect your elders at all times and things like that. I mean, out there, being competitive and stuff sometimes. So, talking outside your neck.
Yeah.
You better understand. Yeah, we out hooping, but you better respect me at the same time. Yeah.
Don't cross that line. There's a line. And you're going to get told when you cross it. Or when you're about to cross it.
Or you get that look.
Yeah.
That look is.
So, Devonta, you mentioned your grandmother, you mentioned your father. What was your, and all the OGs, what was your family dynamic growing up in Louisiana?
Everybody was close. I mean, everybody stayed around each other. So, like, anytime something was going on, everybody at my house or my grandma's house, like, every time something was going on, and then, I mean, everybody stayed right on one street. So, you ain't had to go far. You ain't got to take no car. You just walk down the road. That's where everybody at. So, everybody was close. Real athletic family. Everybody plays sports. So, I mean, we'll be out there playing volleyball, tennis, softball, everything, basketball. Like, we always had some sport going on.
So, when did you fall in love with football?
I really say probably just high school. Because, I mean, majority of my family played basketball. My pops didn't play football. So, it was just kind of like I always grew up basketball, basketball, basketball. And then high school probably when I really fell in love with it, I got my first offer. And then my mentor, like, he made me realize it's not doing what you want to do, but doing what's best for you. And, I mean, I started to realize football was best for me.
How did you take that? It's not doing what you want to do. It's doing what the best for you.
Yeah, it was tough, man, because, like I say, I always loved basketball. I mean, I ain't want to give it up, but it was, like, being realistic. You 6 foot, man. You're not going to go out here nowhere and really get nothing. Then wasn't nobody helping with basketball in my area. It was all football. It was big football town. So it was like, people going to help you get to where you want to be with football and not basketball. It was tough, though.
Hmm. A statement that I read that you said, if it ain't family, I don't want to be there. Expound on that.
Just like I say, I'm real nonchalant. I'm not really a people person. I don't talk a lot, so it was just like, if it wasn't really my family there, I really don't want to be around it because, like, why am I here? And even sometimes, like, once I went to college and I come back home, my family let me know, like, you coming home, but you ain't talking to us. It ain't just because I'm not thinking about y'all. It's just that, like, I'm just in my shell. That's just how I am. I don't like getting out like that. I don't like being around a lot of people. Like, as I got older, I kind of, like, started distancing myself just from being in big crowds. It's just how I am.
Do you feel like because of playing ball, it takes the energy away from you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was one thing. Just coming home, everybody always want to talk about football. It's like, bro, I've been doing that for – I don't want to talk about that right now. Like, if y'all going to talk about that, I'm not coming.
Yeah. You know, but do you understand why?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, just being in my small family, it was just like, You the one person that took it and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like everybody just happy for me.
Yeah. And they also want to know what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the experience of, because you go from, here's what the dynamic, you go from Smitty to Lil Smitty to celebrity to nephew or whoever it is, grandson. So this is balanced. They looking at you as Lil Devonta to celebrity. So it's that roller coaster. So different days, you know, different strokes, different for different folks, different days, because they remember you were walking around and I remember I was changing that boy diaper, right? Yeah. I remember telling that boy to, I taught him how to tie his shoe.
It's pride.
Right? And then that boy out there buying us shoes, right? So that it's that balance, right, of that you're experiencing. So I would try to encourage you, man, try to embrace it, right? Yeah. Try to embrace it because you got to think about it. Man, 23 years old. You're going to turn, you're going to go to sleep, wake up, bro. It's going to be, you're going to be 10 years in the league, 33. On your way out to some degree, right? To where, right? I used to, every house I had, we had a guest room. And I was done playing. Ain't no guests coming. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of liked a little bit, right? Yeah. You know, but it changed. So I would say cultivate those relationships. See which ones are authentic, right? Give them a little grace because you're experiencing something that they've never done. Your rookie deal, what you're getting paid as a rookie, and you getting 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 people of your family members' salary in one check. That's a little different. That's something for some of us, man, we've never seen that. So, you know, just try to keep that perspective. It's tough, and I know it's hard, but, you know, it's just kind of, that's where you are. I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. cuttoitpodcast.com.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're very cautious around people. Why? What happened? What's going on? Why are you so cautious? Like you look like you look like you side eye everybody. He be over there. What they want?
He reading the room for sure.
Yeah, that's how my pops is. That's how my pops and mom. That's how everybody is. I think I just kind of picked up on it from them. Just like my mom, she was always like a parent that was like, that's why I didn't play AAU basketball. If I can't be there, then I don't want you there. Mm. I don't trust nobody with you but me. So like I think that's just where I picked up on from.
Well, I can't even imagine that conversation with Nick Saban and your folks. How was that conversation?
I mean, it was smooth, honestly, just because, you know, with his status, him being who he was, and it was just like him being on the platform, all the stuff that he's done, the awareness he's raised on different situations mm-hmm. and things like that, and how strict he was. Cause my mom was real strict. So she was like, okay, I can see you being at a place like this. I know he ain't just going to be out here letting you do anything. Mm-hmm. To where other places, it's like, we go on visits. They trying to get me to go out to party. My mom, she know I don't like going out. And then I tell her, like, they trying to get me to go out here. I don't want to go. And she like, okay, I know I don't want him to be there. Cause they trying to get him to do something he don't want to do. Mm-hmm.
So was that trust what sold you on Alabama, or was there anything else about the Alabama culture that made you fall in love and say, yes, that's where I'm going?
Honestly, it was Coach Burns. He was my recruiter. He's from New Orleans. So like, I kind of know him. He just always kept it real with me. Like anything that went down, he told me. When he told me that the receiver coach was going to leave right before I signed, things like that, he was the only one that called me and told me. And I just feel like if I'd have went there, I know he gonna be there, and I'm always like, he gonna always have my back no matter what. And he always kept it real with me, so that's the main reason I went.
So how are you gonna handle the National Football League? Because that is the coaching wise, this profession is not always about transparency. It's the business, right? And the business of football is that they're not gonna tell you, like, you know, when you drive up to a drive through. They know they don't have fries, but they're not going to tell you till you put in that order. They ain't going to put on the sign, no fries this week, right? They're not going to put that in the league. They're not going to say, hey, we're going to draft you, but we know we're going to be awful, right? So how are you going to handle the professional football where transparency and trust is not always front and center? You know, they have to – the organization has to trust to make sure that they know that you can hold secrets too.
I mean, you just have to, like, I look at it like you just control what you can control. Mm. I mean, I'm gonna do my part, and I mean, hopefully anything else we missing, it come along. Mm. And I mean, that's where you sit there and you do what you do. You see the guys that you want to be, that you want to conversate with, and you see the guys that you want to distance yourself from. I mean, you see that. And, I mean, that's what you got to do.
So when you sit in the locker room, are you just kind of, you taking mental notes of, well, nope, yes. Oh, heck no.
Yeah, when I first got there, I had to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, nah, it's just cool. I mean, like, I know we're here for work. So it's like, I have my conversations. I keep the conversation where it's supposed to be, and then I don't go no farther than that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I did it a little bit too. That's exhausting. It has to be sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to figure out who's telling the truth, who's selling you a bag full of goods.
So what were some of those biggest aha moments you had last year then?
I wouldn't really say it was nothing too crazy for real.
Yeah, y'all weren't that good. Sorry.
I mean, the biggest
when
thing
you started off.
For him.
No, I'm saying when they started off.
Yeah.
Like his.
Yeah. I'm just saying more so for him personally. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got to have some good. In the beginning, it was tough to watch him.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, goodness gracious.
That's how it was for me, though, because it's like I've been winning all my life from Little League to middle school, high school, college. And then I get here, I'm like, man, we 25. Like, man, what's up? Like, something got to change. And I mean, it was frustrating. Then, like, because it's like we losing, but we losing by small stuff.
Yeah. Like, you're losing games you should be winning.
Yeah. So it was just like, what can I do better that can just help us a little bit to get where we're going? And I mean, it was rough. I had like 3 weeks opening play. I didn't drop the first play 3 weeks straight. Mm. So I'm like, man, what's up with me? What I got going on? And it was just me thinking too much, being out there. It was just like, man, just go back to just being you. Like, yeah, they coaches, they doing this and that. But man, you got to do what you comfortable with. Everybody wants you to do stuff this way and that way. Man, you got to do what you comfortable with.
Mm. Let's go back to the combine. You didn't get weighed, you didn't lift. However, they were glowing reviews about you all through the season leading up to and beyond the Heisman Trophy. And then all of a sudden the draft comes and now all of a sudden they didn't notice that you were skinny. Right?
So I'm dominating the whole national championship game. Yeah. Now all of a sudden there's something.
I mean, he didn't have no calves before he got to the national championship game and after.
I mean, I got to the point I didn't really care no more. It was just like, okay, y'all say this and that.
Yeah.
Whatever receiver y'all thinking about taking, just name something that he can do that I can't do. Mm. I mean, like, everybody will sit up here and be like, oh, yeah, but we need you to block here and there. I'm like, you can put on tape. I'm out there blocking whatever it is. I'm like, man, blocking ain't got nothing to do with your side. Most of that is if you want to do it. I know a lot of people that's bigger than me that just ain't going to get in there and do
absolutely.
It.
But there are some linebackers.
Yeah, for sure.
There's some linebackers. There's a guy on your team, Fletcher Cox. I know your little asses can't block him.
Oh, yeah. At this point, it's like, okay, I'm playing smart now. Yeah.
Right. I was about to say.
There's no more of that.
Boy, you see, hey, Big Fletch is a nice dude, but he will run your ass over.
Yeah.
Boy, bring
you
up.
You ain't going to put yourself in that predicament.
Yeah, that's a financial decision. Right. Like, I ain't a mathematician, but I'm running these numbers. My checking and savings? Right. You're going to eliminate all of that.
Exactly.
So you decided, you know, take us through that process, though. How did you, you know, I understand you didn't concern yourself. But you had to because it was so blatantly out there every single time. So what did you go through with your team to figure out what was the best way to go through it?
Honestly, I just straight up told them, whether I weigh in or not, they're going to say the same thing. I don't weigh in, oh, he too small. I weigh in, oh, he too small. They're going to say the same thing, so I'm just not going to do it regardless.
All right, so what did you weigh heading up to the draft?
165.
Okay. I was 172. Yeah. What you weighing right now? 170?
I'd be up and down, probably same time.
He kept it real.
Yeah. So are you learning to lift and all that stuff? And not saying learning to lift like you don't know how to lift, but learning to lift that doesn't take away your the swivel of your hips and the elusiveness and being able to run, jump, stop, but also gain some power and strength at the same time. How is that working out for you?
It's good. I mean, I know myself. I know when something get too heavy, I'm going to let you know, hey, man, this shit too heavy. I ain't going to be sitting here doing it, man.
Which is, what number is that?
Hey, man, you get to about 200. Anything with that over you.
That's just too heavy. That was great.
Man, hey, we used to have...
Oh, what exercise, though? Uh-huh.
Like that, oh, that's just the bench. That's just the bench.
Yeah, because you ain't even really clarified.
Nah, I'm trying to let him just flow because I already know what he's talking about. Like, they used to have to do, back in the day, but we used to have to do strength and conditioning. Like, they do the 40, vertical, and bench. And they put 225 on there, bro. I used to only get it five times, dog.
I told him straight. I say, man, you be lucky I get it off the rack.
But Devontae funny.
No, he being real. Cause
he being real. That's what I was
funny. Because he tired of people like, no, you know I can't. You know I can't lift it.
That was literally going to be my next question of, you talked about things that are draining. Like, you've kind of mentioned it, though, but how draining is that? Because everyone keeps saying, man, you're too small, or what can he lift? Like, that does just have to be draining and completely get on your nerves. When you know you can, all you got to do is produce, and all you do is produce.
But even when you produce, listen, you know how many people have told me, anytime I talk about anybody, I'm a hater. Mm-hmm. I was nothing but a slot receiver. I didn't play in the slot, but I wish I did, right? Yeah. It would have helped my career. I'd probably play 22 years if I played in the slot.
Yeah.
I was at dinner with a few buddies, and one of those buddies happened to be the team president. He used to be a team president of the Carolina Panthers. His name's Mark Richardson. His dad's name is Mr. Richardson. You know, there's a couple $1 billion, used to own the team. And Mark says at dinner, Hey, Smitty, not too bad for a returner. I looked at him. I said, a returner? He said, yeah, we drafted you as a returner. I said, no, the hell you didn't. He goes, see, there goes that chip.
Yeah.
It's not a chip. You drafted me as a returner. But when you drafted me and you scouted me, I played wide receiver who happened to play punt, return, and kickoff. it's not a chip. It's a, you put me in a box and I refuse to live in that box. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling me, because I don't want to live in that box, that I have a chip, or that I'm rebelling against authority. But the whole purpose of life is to get the most out of what you can get, right? When you get the opportunity. Nobody goes, yeah, I'm going to get the... You don't go to a job and say, I want to make the same amount of money for the next 30 years.
Or to just evolve.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, professionally, personally, all of that.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it just fits in that category. We want to put people in boxes, but yet we want to call them renegades or... they have chips on their shoulder if we don't accept them marginalizing us or limiting us because we refuse to be limited.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is the whole premise about hopes and dreams, isn't it? Daydreaming.
Yeah.
Like, if not, you should have stayed your ass in Louisiana, right? You should have never went outside of that and wanted to be anything more.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Just you should have stayed in Lexington. Mm-hmm. How dare you get a college degree? How dare you want to raise a family?
Right.
We want to limit people, justify our limitations, and then get mad at the people who don't want to live with your limitations on their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether he would have lifted or not lifted, he would have heard the same chatter. Right. And it's just got to be, someone says, and someone may even listen to this right now and be like, oh, man, he's saying, you know, if it's 200, get it off the rack. Man, this brother had 64 catches.
Yeah.
64 catches in the league is 64 catches in the league. I don't care.
Here's what I asked the strength coach. When am I ever going to be laying on my back, need to bench 200 pounds? First of all, if I'm laying on my back, benching 200 pounds, that's a problem. Think about it.
Yeah.
When do I need to use this particular exercise?
That range of motion. Yeah.
Well, I didn't got pancakes, let me get this DB off me. That's the only time that's going to be functional movement.
Yeah.
Other than that, you swiping, jumping, running.
Yeah.
I mean,
it also doesn't. I mean, it measures your strength, but it doesn't measure your capabilities.
No, it doesn't. This
cat's who can bench 315 is still getting ran.
Let me tell you, it's some dudes I played against that can bench 350 pounds, jaw, wet tissue, paper. Mm. Boop!
He laughing.
I'm just asleep, sleep.
Because he know it too.
Yeah. Or walk up to him, they be in there, walk up to him in practice, be like, bruh, don't.
Yeah.
I know you heard this before. Joe has not. And I know you heard this. You know, you used to have friends over. Your mom said, don't let your friends get your ass whooped. Right?
Yeah.
I'd look at it. Don't let that weight room get your ass whooped today.
Yeah.
That weight room will get you burned.
Yeah.
You know, so some cool moments that you've experienced in the league thus far.
I say, man, every day just being out there against Slay.
Mm-hmm.
It's him, man, the energy he bring. And it's always, since day one, I got up in the young boy, we finna go at it today.
Mm.
And I liked it. Like, yeah, we finna go back and forth. And I mean, that was probably the best thing that could happen to me, having him. And I look at, that's my OG on the team.
Mm.
Anytime I got a question about a DB, I always go to him. He gonna watch the film, let me know what he think. And I say that's probably the biggest highlight of my rookie career, rookie season, just that. Just being able to talk to him and him just always just being there, no matter if I got a question or not.
Mm. We had Slay on here.
Mm-hmm.
Slay, I was in Baltimore. He was in Detroit, and he asked. We had a little going at each other. I was still injured, coming back from injury, and he had asked for a jersey, and was like, want to do a jersey exchange. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a trick. Thought he was trying to soften me up. I was like, I'm not giving my jersey to no DB. But Slay's just an authentic dude.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you're learning about DBs going up against Slay every week? Because, you know, he's big play Slay, right? He's a country boy too, just like you.
Yeah.
What are you learning from him that you can take on as your career continues to go, and then eventually his career will subside because, you know, he's just a little bit older than you.
The little stuff that I do that could give away what I'm finna do with a DB. Like, he told me last week when I change my speed, he know I'm finna run a stop route or something like that. So it was just always just the little tails that I had that I don't realize that he see where he know at what route I'm finna run. And just ways that I can always use that against the DB and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably because your coach telling you to run all the time. You always been told you run faster, huh?
Yeah.
Slow people. Always telling fast people to run faster.
So what are you starting to implement into your regiment now going into this upcoming season?
I mean, man, just really catching a lot more things like that. That's the main thing, because, I mean, that's what you're here for. Get open and catch the ball. So just as many catches as I can. I know right now, every day, I'm guaranteed at least 560 tennis balls. And that's if I drop one, I start over.
I don't understand the tennis balls. Help me on that one.
It's more of a making sure you look it in all the way.
Okay.
Eye coordination, stuff like that. Because, okay, you know, you tend to sometimes you think you got it and you ain't really looking it all the way in.
Yeah.
But tennis balls, you got to make sure you look it all the way into your hand.
Okay. What has it been like for you to play in the NFC East? Why do you chuckle? I mean,
because everybody look at us like we the weakest division that it is.
I'm talking from an old head. The NFC East used to be the division. The NFC East and the NFC West would be the division. The winner out of those two games, the winner out of, first of all, the NFC East and NFC West would be going to the NFC Championship and based out of that, generally would win the Super Bowl. So I'm not talking in that regards. I'm talking in the regards of you play the Cowboys, tough matchup. Their fans travel.
I say story franchise.
Story franchise. They travel. You play in the New York Giants. Story franchise.
Commanders.
They travel. The Commanders. They've been horrible, not great in the recent years, but they travel as well. And you got Philly. Philly's the most rudest fans out there, but they keep it 100. And they travel.
Yeah.
So you're playing in the NFC East that there's always high expectations. Whether you guys live up to them, it's not for me to say.
Yeah.
But you still have high expectations. Now with A.J. Brown, higher expectation. The Slim Reaper, high expectations. Jalen Hurts, high expectations. Like now it's you guys are back to y'all can play football. Can you link? Will you start the season the way you finished the season last year? So I didn't mean it in a y'all playing the weakest. I mean is, man, weak, good, bad, or indifferent, there's an expectation, brother, and are you ready for it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, we done made all these moves. Like, we know it's time. Like, we got it. Got to put the pieces together and things like that, continue to get that chemistry. But, like, we know it's done. We know we got a chance.
Steve brought up a good one just now. How have you, with your demeanor and that you've talked about, how have you been able to embrace that Eagles fan base that, to his point, they keep it 100. They can keep it being.
Yeah. No.
How have you been able to embrace that fan base from your demeanor?
With me being me, I'm hard on myself. So whatever somebody else got to say about me, it don't really bother me. It just let me know. Like, okay, sometimes some of the stuff they see, they say, I'm like, okay, that's bullshit. But sometimes I got to like,
but his one line is being funny. He said, the one line
he said,
end.
I don't really care about that. But when I really think about it, when I reread it.
Yeah, man, I love it, man. Fuck all that shit. Man, it's great.
Tell us how you really feel. Hey, bro, Philly fans be killing y'all, huh?
Yeah, man, they keep it real, but I mean, I wouldn't rather be. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else.
I would.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that T-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a T-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to be real careful with this question. You from Louisiana?
Yeah.
What you think about those Philly cheesesteaks?
Man, they just, you know how like...
They nasty. I'm going to just tell you how I feel. They nasty,
they are
dog.
Mid at
see,
best.
See, now look, I'm with you, but... this
you can't
thing,
be.
It's not the fact that they nasty. It's the fact that they hype it up like you can't get it nowhere else.
Yeah.
Like, it's the difference when, like, Louisiana, like, man, you not finna come up here and get no gumbo. No yeah. Man, I can go get a cheesesteak from anywhere, man.
No. We used to go, when we played Philly, I hated playing Philly for a number of reasons. One, if it's like November, December, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Then the other part, after the game, the Philly, I don't want no greasy, nasty,
yeah,
soggy
cheese whiz
sandwich.
Yeah, controversial food take, but Philly cheesesteaks are mid at best. Now, that's really gonna get Philly fans mad about the cheesesteaks, but
yeah, I'm be honest. Every time, I went to Philly, bro,
yeah, they mid at best. At best,
oh.
Do you know after the game they have it sitting out there for about an hour before the game?
Yeah.
So now the bread soggy.
And that tinfoil.
Bad.
It ain't even good tinfoil. It's a cheap tinfoil.
Already.
With a sticker holding it together. Yeah. Steam.
Yeah.
It's like getting French fries that's been in a bag for 10 hours.
At least you can pop them in the air fryer. There ain't nothing you can do with that cheesesteak.
Nothing. How has your life really changed moving to Philly?
I mean, it's different. It's way different than from the South, man. People up here rule, you know, in the South, you talk to have manners, respect your elders and stuff like that. Up here, man, they ain't worried about all that, man. Yeah. You know, I'm at Walmart. I'm woman coming down the aisle. I got out of the way. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I'm in your way. She like, oh, you can't be from here. You too nice. I'm like,
yeah,
man.
So I was listening to something the other day, and someone was explaining Southern hospitality, and he was like, man, I just the passive aggressiveness of Southern hospitality. I'm like, no, there are legit people in the South that want to hold the door open for you,
yeah,
that want to say excuse me, that want to, hey, if they say, hey, I want to hang out, let's do lunch, they really want to hang out and
some
do lunch.
People.
It's not the industry stuff, but for the people who is, they mess up the people really have Southern hospitality. To probably Devontae's point of, no, he really, you come
open the door.
Open up the door, or excuse me, ma'am, or any of those things. It's legit. He really has a nice disposition.
I've opened the door up, been in New York, you know, obviously a few times, and opened up the door and clutching their purse.
Oh, well, that's different.
No, but I'm just saying, because they think you're setting them up.
Yeah.
They think it's a real reason that you are. Oh, no, ma'am. Don't call me ma'am.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, you don't want me to call you what I'm thinking.
Southern hospitality is not passive aggressive.
No, it's not. It's not even close. So Philly's training facilities in New Jersey. So obviously living in New Jersey, it's a little different, right, from the South. And so how are you fitting in? It has to be different for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, the biggest thing was just like everything just being, yeah, it's a big city, but everything is compact. Like, it's always traffic and stuff like that. Yep. You know, back in the South, where I'm from, a small town, you ain't got to worry about no traffic, man. I can get up 10 minutes before I need to do anything and be right there.
You've been late a few times, huh?
Nah, I ain't know. I'm always up early. I'm an early person.
Oh, okay.
I'm always up early.
What's some of them old South things that you do in the big city? Sometimes, you know, guys look at it and go, oh, that boy, he's from the South.
You be frying fish on the balcony, don't you? I know. I got in trouble for it once.
Balling in the backyard.
See? Listen, man, I know a country boy.
Yeah. Boiling, what you boiling in the backyard?
Just crawfish and turkey necks, something like that. What?
Just tell them why you got to boil the turkey necks, though. Because they over here laughing and kikiing.
Yeah, man. I
wasn't kikiing. I was laughing.
I said laughing and kikiing.
You know, I don't know kiki. I was laughing out loud.
I had a couple people that said that they tried. They were like, okay, this really where it's at.
Listen, brother, you ain't going to get me eating turkey necks like I know how you eat turkey necks. I shall pass. I'm not saying the same thing. I'm 43. My folks back home, they eat Southern. They're just no.
Because you also got to have the turkey necks to season the greens.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. See, it's duality.
Whatever.
Dang. Just dismiss our culture, see?
No. Because I know the method in which you have to eat the turkey neck, so I prefer no. That's why. Yeah. There are some times where I sit there and I'm grilling. I can reminisce and go back. And I'm like, man, I miss this. And there's other times like, no, I'm not. Mm-mm. Like Christmas. Like, you got turkey, the Marie Callender's lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
And then you got somebody that decides that they want to bring chitlins. It don't mix for Thanksgiving. It just don't.
Depends on where you at.
And my nostrils disagree.
Depends on where you at.
You're not cooking no chitlins at my house.
Yeah. You ain't bringing them to my house, even cook them at somebody else's house.
Yeah, they ain't coming in my house at all.
So going to the corner store when you was growing up, the canister with the pig feet and the boiled eggs.
Those are pickled ones.
Yeah. The pickled pig feet. Yeah.
You had those?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at it. He done chomped on those. It was delicious, huh? Look at them. But what's the difference between that and chitlins? Nothing, because they all of them disgusting.
Nah. I ain't going to say that.
Yeah?
I ain't going to say that.
What about I've never had it because I'm not a pork fan, but pork butt.
Nah, I ain't never had that.
That can just be chopped barbecue. Yeah.
But I'm just talking about, like, here in Charlotte, they have, like, the smoker and they have it. Like,
yeah.
I ain't.
Yeah, I mean, chances are, if you've had, like, anything like chopped pork,
But it just, when it comes, when you buy it off the, like, off the dude here in the South, when I got here, you know, like on the weekends in the summer, they have a dude with
the
smoker.
The trucks.
Yeah, the truck.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is mom bringing food? Does mom cook or stuff when she come in town, or has she moved up with you? What's that?
Oh, yeah. Anytime she comes, she going to cook.
Ooh, what's your go-to meal when mama's in town?
Got to be the gumbo.
Ooh. What kind?
Sausage, chicken.
Ooh.
Shrimp, all of it.
Yeah. So how is the seafood and getting all that stuff out there?
You ain't getting no good seafood.
Really?
Nah. I ain't even finna test it out to see if it's good.
You can be living there for a long time. You better start.
I'm gonna cook it myself. I do it myself.
You can cook?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me something. What's your go-tos?
Jambalaya.
Okay. What else? Breakfast. What about breakfast? What's your skill on breakfast?
I don't really too much eat breakfast, but if I do, I'm a big oatmeal guy. I love oatmeal.
He pull. He's pull like me. That's my go-to. Oatmeal. Because, when you barely got anything, you got to have something that'll stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nutrition is not a place when you poor. Yeah. It's breakfast, oatmeal, lunch. Anything in between is Nathan. So oatmeal, you like cream of wheat too, huh?
Yes.
Yep. See, that's the pole appetite. And it don't change. Still 43 years old. Not my go-to, oatmeal. Mm. I got it in my office.
Yeah.
I got it. Grits.
Yeah.
You anything that is gonna last longer than that, because the bread, the eggs, man, if you had that by 7, bro, by 9:30, you still hungry. It is not there.
So Devontae, what does success look like for you in NFL?
Living up to the goals that I set for myself every season. Mm. Of course, want to win a Super Bowl. Got to get that for sure. But just whatever my goals is for each season, just checking on boxes off, and just every year, just checking that off. Mm.
From where you stand, what does success look like as of right now?
I got a lot to work on. Mm. I feel like last year I left a lot out there last year. I left too much out there last year. I didn't get a rap. That was supposed to be easy. Easy. I left it out there easy. I wanted more touchdowns, but yeah, I feel like I left a lot out there. A lot out there that if I would have made them plays, I probably would have got what I wanted.
Hmm. Is the NFL a little bit harder than what you thought it would be?
It's harder scoring. For some reason, it's harder scoring in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Just scoring is real hard in the NFL.
Man, they keep everything in front of you. It's so much. It's in college, it's checkers, and the NFL is chess.
Yeah.
Right. You know, from the 20 to 20, it seems like it's checkers, and then all of a sudden, defense coordinators switching things up, and all of a sudden, now you're playing chess, or you're playing Sorry, or Monopoly, and you're not visiting jail. You stuck in jail trying to figure it out. You can't get out of. You can't get on land on a free parking. You keep landing on Broadway or Park Place. You just can never figure it out. And that's the intangibles. That's what makes the NFL such an intriguing sport, such a high low profession. And with some men figure it out, and some men never figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, what's some of the things that you learned the hard way thus far that you were unprepared for?
It wasn't really nothing that I came across that just caught me like I wasn't ready for.
Mm-hmm.
You got more time to do the stuff that you need to do. So, like, I ain't got to worry about going to class. So that could be me watching more film and stuff like that. So it kind of was easier because I got more time in my hands to do the things I need to do. I got more time in my hands to take care of my body and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's a question that you hate getting asked?
Is Jalen Hurts going to be the quarterback that we want him to be?
Mm.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, his first year starting, we get to the playoffs, things like that. I mean, like, yeah, stuff ain't always go right, but I mean, that's the part. That's part of the game, man. You don't have your little ups and downs and stuff like that. But I mean, him being the guy he is, he know when he's doing something wrong, and he know what he got to work on. So that's why I can appreciate that a whole lot more. Because you have some guys that they just don't get what they're doing wrong, and they don't want to live up to it. Like, okay, they know they're wrong, but they don't want to hear it. Like, I know I'm wrong, but man, I ain't trying to hit it. But like him just being real with himself, like. Yeah. And me being able, if I know he was wrong on something, be like, bro, that ain't what they said. Like, that wasn't right. Like, he going to live like, yeah, I fucked that up. Like, that's the type of guy he is. And I mean, I can live with that. Somebody that's going to always going to know what they did wrong and not scared to sit up there and admit, like, yeah, I fucked that up. Mm. And when they wrong, they know what they got to do to make it right.
Do you think that's an advantage to have the relationship that you probably had with him prior to this? Do you think that's been an advantage that, y'all have been able to have that chemistry and you have that rapport with him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, if I had somebody I'd never been with, I probably wouldn't have been as comfortable just, like, talking to them. You know, some of that stuff, like I say, I don't talk to a lot of people, so it's going to be like, I don't really know you like that. So, like, I can tell you something. You know, some people, you can't tell people some things, and they take it the right way. Like, they think that you hating on them or something like that. But with him, I can go to him, tell him something, and he's going to be like, you right.
That's unique. I'm going to tell you right now, that's unique. That's something that you need to prepare yourself. That may not be the case all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so That leads me to really ask you, why is Alabama so different? What makes Alabama different?
Man, because Alabama is just like the NFL. You ain't doing what you're supposed to do, you're out of there. Mm. You ain't making the plays you're supposed to make. You ain't on time for the stuff you need to be on time. The next man right there waiting for you to slip up. Mm.
How do the fans and community treat you at Alabama?
Oh, it's all love. I mean, like he said, Alabama football is Alabama. So, I mean, like, they love it, man. They all into it. They just always, they into it. They going to always respect you no matter what. They not like feeling where if you playing bad, they going to let you know. Like, they going to always show love no matter what.
Was it ever overwhelming? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, I was just going to say, was it ever overwhelming with your disposition, just kind of how you are being kind of introverted? Was it ever overwhelming, all the love they show?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Still to this day, that's just how I am. I mean, I'm not one of the guys that like people just sitting there praising me all the time. Like, okay, I know I did this. And I don't need to hear all that. Just like, I don't, like, autographs and stuff like that, it's cool. But at a certain point, it's like, all right, man, like, I ain't got time for all this.
Well, man, you've shown us a lot of your personality. Yep. And you definitely opened up throughout this interview. What's one thing people don't know about you?
I don't know. I feel like everybody really know everything. I mean, everybody know I don't really talk as much. I mean, the more I talk to you, that means I really, really fuck with you like that.
Yeah, because you got on here, I felt like we asked you for your social security number at first. She was like, hey.
Right.
Like, am I here? Look, him. I personally just love watching you play. Mm-hmm. I loved your Alabama. Just excited to see how your career develops. You know, you got a good one, A.J. Brown. That's a real one. But then you also, you know, you're trying to carve your own way. You know, you got two number one wide receivers that's going to competitively demand the ball. And so it'd be fun to see the 1-2 punch, right? And have fun with it. Man, it's gonna be quick. You know, you're gonna go to sleep, wake up, and be 10 years in the league. And it'll be damn near over. So enjoy it. And I'll be remiss to tell you, save all that money, brother.
For sure.
Save it. All right, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior.
Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.